Hey everyone, welcome back to our fourth showcase for Lyme Less Live More. And we have myself, Brent Martin, and Dana Walsh, and Beth Greer all on the call today. It's very exciting. We really put a lot of thought into this whole series where we started, the first session was, about gut health, really laying that as our foundation. And then moving into, individuality when it comes to nutrition. And then, we're looking at, how to detox our body and the lymph system and, reduce body pain. And now we're looking at other ways to really even build on this these foundations to, where are some ways we can reduce our exposure to toxins. And this is where we're going to go even deeper in what we talked about, detox your home, detox yourself, and our interview we did with the amazing Beth Greer, who, by the way, is author of Supernatural Home. And we were in her Supernatural Home. You saw us there in our September interview. And I'm really excited about this follow-up call today. So, hey, Dana.
Hi there. Hi, everyone. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Hi, Beth.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Dana. Hi, Brent.
Yeah, thanks, Brent, for that lead-in. That was really, really good. I just want to make the point again that, sometimes in chronic illness, Lyme disease particularly, it's so complicated that we skip over the obvious sometimes, the most simple things, like how about not retoxifying, if that's a word. Every day we spend, countless dollars on ways to detox.
Hello, I lost.
You got dropped off, Beth?
I'm back. I didn't hear you for a little bit.
Yeah, you just cut out for a second there.
We were just saying how, how we often focus so much on detoxifying our bodies and getting what we need to detoxify, but we're not looking at how we're getting toxic to begin with. And I think it's really a shame. I told you this, Beth, to your horror the other day, that I went to a friend's house in L.A., and she spends tens of thousands of dollars a month. I'm not joking, on really intense treatments. And I went to her bathroom, and she had Dial soap, antibacterial, which I couldn't even be in the room. And, the bad laundry detergent, like all these things. I'm going, what are you thinking? And particularly she's looking into fertility. She has fertility issues. And I'm like, hormone disruptors and the antibacterial. But anyway, we'll get to that. So just taking away the toxins and bringing in the natural products is so huge. And like I said, we'll get to some of those body products. We've had a lot of questions for you, Beth. But we're going to go to the very basics. I think we'll start there. And I know you only have an hour, so we're just going to flip right through. This comes from Carol. She says, I have a question about one of the most important things we put into our bodies, water. What is the best water to drink? That's just pretty simple right there. So what would you recommend?
I get asked that question all the time. Is it better to drink tap water? Is it better to drink water from a bottle? And first, just be aware that the tap water that we're drinking is not as safe as you might think. The Associated Press did a survey of Americans' tap water across the U.S., and they discovered things like pharmaceutical drugs, birth control pills, antidepressants, antibiotics, things like that, in significant quantities in our tap water. And so then you may think, well, maybe bottled water is better. Well, bottled water, is not particularly a highly regulated industry. And so the plastics are, aside from the plastic that are leaching into the water bottles, like BPA, which you mentioned is an endocrine disruptor.
Beth?
Yes?
Beth, it's Dana. You're kind of going in and out. I'm wondering if I know you're on your cell. Can you repeat that?
Sure. From where?
Endocrine disruptor. So, we're just talking about the
BPA is in the hard plastic water bottles, and sometimes you'll see companies that'll say BPA-free, but they're actually substituting the BPA with BPS, and that's an untested chemical as well. And so, you know, so plus the fact that you have
the
unregulated. Yes?
We're getting lots of pauses. Any chance you can call from a landline?
I can do that. You know, the thing is that when I was listening to you speak, you were breaking up as well. So I'm wondering if it's the conference call itself.
Yeah, it might be the conference call system. So we'll bear with it. So let's proceed.
Sorry, so getting back to the water. So there are the bottled water industry is not highly regulated either, and so a lot of the times that what you think it says natural spring water, it could actually just be municipal water that's been filtered, which is kind of shocking, and then you're paying an awful lot of money for that, very expensive. So what I recommend is that people get a good quality water filter, generally one under the sink that is a carbon filter, and reverse osmosis would be great. You know, the ones that you get on your countertop, like those Brita's, they do a little bit, but not really. They're not going to get rid of the pharmaceutical drugs that you're being exposed to in your tap water. They'll get rid of the chlorine, but that's pretty much it.
You know, Beth, there's a couple things here, too. I know I've been to your beautiful home, and I know you have that super-duper system in your house. There seems to be... Well, the main thing I think is the fluoride, not to mention the chlorine and stuff like that, but then fluoride has so many health consequences. So do you know if these carbon filters under the counter, are there stages? I know I have a two-stage, and I've seen three and four.
Well, I have four, believe it or not, I have a 14-stage filter, which is maybe a little over
Lord,
the top.
Wow.
But,
I know.
Yeah, I mean, so you want to get something that has several stages. You know, two obviously is better than none or one. So, yes, they will get rid of the fluoride. So that's kind of what you want. And I have a whole list of water filters in my book. You know, my book is really inexpensive. People say they bring it with them to the store with them. It's like a Bible. It's I think it's like $12 on Amazon, and it's just a really great resource.
But
there's
because we don't want to spend too much giving
filtration,
too much time
purification,
giving away, like,
and then, you know, reverse
brand
osmosis.
Names.
And
but you
and
have the
what I have is an ultraviolet
ideas and stuff in the book. Great,
yeah.
great. So the answer is really, you know, the most inexpensive way to get good water is just filter it yourself.
And then make sure you put it in glass or metal water bottles. Don't put it in plastic, because again, you're going to be exposed to the leaching, especially if you put those plastic water bottles in a dishwasher. It'll leach the chemicals out even faster.
Sometimes. Yeah, Beth, that was a long pause, but I think what you probably said is about just the leaching plastic. No, we got that.
Yeah, don't put it I said don't put it in a dishwasher, because it will leach out even faster.
Awesome. Okay,
the,
got
the
it.
Heat.
Got it.
Yeah, the heat. Okay.
Ooh, I'm kind of guilty of that. And, you know, somebody said, let's see, Carol also said that, Mark Weil recommends you filter water, tap water, right at your tap. That's interesting, because we never know what's in our pipes. So, yeah, filter tap water. That's the best way to go. So,
right,
yeah,
and
that
put it in. Put it in glass or metal water bottles, not plastic. Because
there's all this talk about alkaline and acid in water. I think extremes are always dangerous. In my opinion,
yes.
We talk a lot about pH and how to not go too far to either extreme. So we don't typically recommend the alkaline waters. You don't use that,
correct.
Do you, Beth?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't. I've heard of some horror stories where people used alkaline, drank too much alkaline water and it affected their thyroid. So you have to kind of know what you're doing.
And I've heard similar stories with distilled water. I mean, it can be very beneficial to pull some bad things out, but then it can also really deplete you of the minerals. So filtered tap water, let's stay there. Keep it simple. Keep it simple.
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll take that water, and now we'll move into the air piece. And we have a question around for you, Beth, where is there a particular brand or make of air purifier that you recommend?
Yeah, I like the, let me just make sure I got the name right. It's Air Free, I believe. And you can get it on Amazon. Let me just find my notes here. I believe Air Free is the name of it. And what I like about it is that it doesn't have any filters. It's called Air Free Air Purifier, and it uses no filters. I know that it's very effective, and it's very quiet. And the other thing I like about it is that it doesn't have a high electromagnetic field, because, you know, I have these meters that measure, and this was like one of the lowest ones seen. I had been to someone's home where this little boy had terrible headaches for 2 years because turned out the mom put a giant air purifier right next to his head, and the field on that thing was enormous. So we moved it like 10 feet away, and his headaches went away dramatically, like within a day, they were gone. But this air free, it doesn't have that high field, and I think it does a really good job.
Okay, that's good to know. You know, I also tend to open the windows and the doors, even if it's cold, for a portion of the day, you know, just to air
it's
things
a really
out.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a really good idea, because what people, I think, are not really aware of is that the air quality inside our homes can be like maybe even 10 times more polluted than the air outside because of all the off-gassing that's going on from the couches, from our mattresses, from our the toxic. Sometimes people are using, you know, scented candles or air plug-ins or, you know, air fresheners or even the household cleaners, and all this stuff contributes to having bad indoor air pollution. So it's a good idea to open up your windows. Yes.
You know, and not to mention the natural sort of toxins like mold. We did have a few questions about mold, understandably, in this community. I just want to make a remark on that. We are doing a whole series, a whole showcase with Dave Asprey on mold, so we're going to get into that a lot deeper as well. There was many questions about EMFs, and I know you touch on that, Beth, in your talk with us, but we also want to say that Dr. Klinghardt's interview, we go in depth about that. But I want to get back to what you just said about furniture, mattresses, et cetera, carpets. This is a thing that is not always obvious to us, this off-gassing, which is so poisonous. Somebody wrote in, you know, just the obvious thing we were just talking about. I've done a lot of research on mattresses, and there's just various possibilities. What do you recommend? Well, let's first talk about what's toxic about our couches and mattresses, et cetera.
Okay, so you want to talk about the mattresses first and then the couches?
Sure.
Okay, so the mattresses contain a lot of chemicals, the conventional mattresses. If you're not buying an all-natural latex mattress, then you can be assured that what's in your mattress, also if it doesn't, maybe some mattresses contain wool and cotton, and that's good, organic wool and cotton. But if your mattresses are conventional, the kind that you buy,
we're having a lot of technical issues here. Let's see.
Yeah, please repeat that. Just, you know, there is a lot you can be assured with your mattresses that what? The furniture that what?
Yeah, that that is toxic. So if you're sleeping on a conventional mattress, the kind that you buy at a department store, for example, so those contain polyurethane foam and polyester and these polys, right, that are degrading over time and they're getting into the air. Some mattresses do contain some flame retardants, and those also off-gas and get into the air. And so what I recommend people do, if they can't afford to buy a natural latex mattress made from, you know, 100% natural latex and maybe some organic cotton and wool, then get yourself a topper, a mattress topper, and you can get a natural latex foam topper, for example, and something that, you know, just get a pad on there, and it'll help protect you while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
I like a company. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
All right. It's called foamorder.com, foamorder.com, and they have some fairly inexpensive mattress pads that has latex and cotton and all that, and so that'll protect you. This company is also doing a foam. Well, I wanted to talk about sofas for a minute, but they're doing it's called a Safer Sofa Foam Exchange, and so Foam Order is based in San Francisco, and they're doing this promotion now because the law just changed in January. January 2014, the law now states that companies do not have to put flame retardants inside foam cushions in their couches, whereas before they did contain toxic flame retardants, and we had no choice. We go into a store and we have no choice. So there's a couple of things going on that's very exciting now. So Duke University Research Center is doing a study on what's in my sofa, and you can actually send them a sample of your foam from your couch.
Wow.
And they will test it for you. So you can go, people can go to foam, F-O-A-M, dot Pratt, P-R-A-T-T, dot Duke, D-U-K-E, dot E-D-U, and the page will come up and it'll say, you know, why should I test my sofa and how will it affect me, and then you can submit your foam for analysis. So I thought that was really cool. And just to know,
very
this
cool.
is a really good time, starting this year, that companies, as I said, are no longer are being forced to use flame retardants. So if you want to replace your sofa, now's the time. But you want to make sure that when you go into the store, you ask them, I don't want any flame retardants in it. And so,
that's so exciting, Beth. So you can, I mean, that was such an issue for so long. So now you're saying it's not mandatory. And
correct.
You can have a brand new sofa without this horrible chemical.
Right. And what you want to look for, there's a tag on the foam, and it'll say TB117. It used to say just TB117. It stood for Technical Bulletin 117, which required the flame retardants. But now it'll say TB117-2013, and that will that'll assure you that there won't be any flame retardants in there. So if somebody wants to sell you a couch, it just says TB117. Don't buy it, because furniture stores are having these big sales now because, yeah, they're trying to get rid of the toxic couches. and people need to be aware that this is happening. So don't be fooled by, you know, a cheap price on a couch. Make sure it says TB117-213, and then you know you're good.
Oh, and we're talking a lot about couches, but what about beds? Is that the same? Is that the same thing for that as well?
Well, you know, it's interesting because different manufacturers. There was a mattress law passed in 2009, and it said that manufacturers weren't required to put in flame retardants. But, you know, it's nebulous. Some people say that there is flame retardant. Some people say that there aren't in the mattresses. But you can be assured that if you're buying a natural latex mattress, that it will not contain flame retardants. And I found some great mattresses actually at IKEA, really inexpensive. It contained no flame retardants. So I was really excited about that. And they're really comfortable. And
that's shocking. And wow, really?
And they're way more inexpensive than some of the other stores around. Yeah.
And just to emphasize for people that you know, your bed just being such an important, your bedroom being so important, because that's when our rest is the most important. That's where we're getting, you know, the rest, regeneration, the healing. And, you know, this should be a lot of emphasis on our sleep environment. So for me, I know bed's very important. We talked about, you know, turning EMFs off at night. So go ahead.
Yeah, I really, the bedroom is like, aside from your food and your kitchen, I think the bedroom should be a priority for everybody to make sure that it's a safe haven. And one of the best things you can do is to get yourself a good mattress, a natural mattress. And also, you know, like you said, turn off your Wi-Fi, don't have electronics in your bedroom, because that'll disrupt your sleep. And it's so important for regeneration to have a really deep sleep.
Yes, I want to move on to a little bit about the EMFs, but I want to make sure, so we don't go too far into the flame retardant. We just know it's a very toxic substance. Is there anything we can send people to? Beth, what was that documentary we saw? What was that documentary?
It's called, I have it here. It's called A Toxic Hot Seat. It's a great documentary film by Kirby Walker, Toxic Hot Seat. And also Scandinavian Designs, they now are flame retardant free, so that's really exciting to know.
You dropped off a little bit, but you said Scandinavian Designs. Okay, great.
Has no flame retardant.
Okay,
no
great.
Flame retardant.
And a toxic hot seat. Go ahead.
Is a documentary. I just want to give a couple of tips about all the stuff, like the flame retardants and all this. You know, it gets into the dust in our home. So the thing to do, especially if you're sensitive, especially if you have Lyme, especially if you're, you know, have any chronic illness, is to vacuum with a HEPA filter and wet mop your floors and hand wash to reduce your exposure to the dust, because that is where you're being exposed. You're breathing it in, and also if you're touching the dust and then putting your fingers in your mouth, especially like a child or animals too, that's where they're getting the exposure to the these chemicals.
Wow, interesting. Oh, so interesting. So it seems like we should live outside, but then again, we're scared of ticks, so. I'm thinking like a van, you know, like a green van might be a good, I don't know, I'm just joking, but one step at a time. I know, Brent, wasn't there a question particularly about the EMF?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And, you know, what's the device that's placed in electrical outlets called? We had several questions around that.
I use the GreenWave filter. And if people want to email me, Beth@BethGreer.com. I can send them some information about it. But I think it works really great. But you need to have a measuring device as well. You know, you measure the outlets and then you put the filters in to help mitigate.
I mean, here's the question, Beth. Like, if you didn't get one of those sort of Geiger counter meters, I have a really fancy German one. If people can't get that, would you say it just makes sense to get those, just to put them in around your bed?
No, I don't, because it's complicated. Because, you know, what I do for a living is I go into people's homes, and one of the things that, you know, aside from helping them to detox their food and the cosmetics and personal care products, I measure the their outlets. And
yeah,
all the outlets are different. And some rooms need like three, and some rooms only need one, and some rooms need nothing. And it's just, it's how the walls are wired. And I don't, it's not that expensive to, I think the meter is $100. It's definitely worth it. I wouldn't.
So can we, where do we get all that? Sorry, Beth. Where did, is that listed on your site? Where do you have this information about the meter or the green wave? That's all, or you want people to email you about it?
Yes, email me. I think I have some information on my site. I don't know, my site's being changed around, so I'm not sure what's there and what's not currently, but I will have information on there very soon. So.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. We can email us as well.
Okay.
Thank you for that. So I'm going to move on to another question. Well, you know, we had a lot of questions about this. What about our products, lotions, shampoos, et cetera, et cetera? People are asking for recommendations, but I think we want to just back up a little bit. And I know you said, let's look at the things we're trying to avoid because not all the products are available everywhere. That, you know, for example, I use a lotion that's made locally, and you could probably eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and we know Dr. Bronner's is a great soap,
mm-hmm.
these kind of things. But in your interview with us in September, we talked about triclosan, and I wanted to get an update on triclosan, that pesticide and antibacterial soaps. Was there some...
Right.
Yeah. I heard there was some news around it.
Well, so there were two parts to this. One, you mentioned about the chemicals in shampoos and soaps and stuff, and I just let me just tell you there's that to be aware of phthalates, for example. You won't see the word on the label, but it will be if there's fragrance on the label, it contains phthalates. So phthalates help fragrances last longer, and they help mascara from running, or they keep your nail polish from chipping. So that would be something to pay attention to. And there are chemicals like parabens. Those are antimicrobials, and then you want to avoid those. So you'll see something like methylparaben or propylparaben. So parabens, usually, you know, they're at the tail end. They're of, like, you'll see it in most makeup if it's not natural, or beauty products, deodorant, you know. So that's, and it's, they found it in breast cancer tissue. So we want to be aware of that. And anytime you see these three letters, like in caps, you'll see either PEG or MEA or TEA. Those are things you want to avoid. Those they're called amines, and they cause allergic reactions. And propylene glycol is another one. Like even in Tom's deodorant, the number one ingredient in there is propylene glycol. So imagine spraying like antifreeze under your armpits. That's what propylene glycol is found in antifreeze. It's it's a thing to penetrate. It's called a penetration enhancer. So it actually helps the chemicals to penetrate deeper into your body. So if you want to be aware of that, and then get into triclosan. So yeah, triclosan is actually a pesticide, and it's an antibacterial. And anytime you see the word antibacterial on the label, you can be sure that triclosan is in there. So if it'll say Dial antibacterial soap, if you turn around, you know, and read the label, it'll say triclosan. It's found in Colgate Total toothpaste, and that really concerns me because you know, when you want to take a homeopathic remedy or a nitroglycerin thing under your tongue, it gets absorbed immediately into your bloodstream. So think about your toothpaste. It's being absorbed even though you're not swallowing your toothpaste, it's getting absorbed in through your mouth, under your tongue. And
yes, Beth, we really, this is actually the clip that we took from your interview where we talk about this very thing.
Okay.
About toothpaste and it's really powerful and so important. And this triclosan, you know, it's this antibacterial. We talk about how it's disrupting the flora on our skin. It's a hormone disruptor, and it's causing a lot of problems. But I understand the FDA is looking to ban triclosan, so that's very exciting news. It's a very exciting update.
I mean, the thing is that it's up to us consumers, you know, even though I don't think the FDA is doing the best at protecting us, unfortunately. And so, you know, look, DuPont said they were going to get rid of PFOA and Teflon. You know, this is back in 2008. They said they were going to get rid of it in 2015. Well, they still haven't gotten rid of it yet. You know, so we have to be the ones to get rid of our Teflon pans before they change the formula. They get around to changing the formula. You know, maybe in 2015 they still they'll drag their heels and not get rid of it. It's very interesting.
Brent, you want
to
say
something?
Yeah, it
really is. Yeah, you know, and just to really, you know, make this so relevant to everyone here, I mean, there's just so many areas where toxins can be, you know, come into our lives that's showing us where they're coming from. And, you know, people with Lyme disease, you know, they're already very toxic people. They're dealing with the toxins from the bugs and the die-offs. And just, you know, our bodies, you know, we have like a certain threshold of like how many toxins can we take before we really start going under. And you know, that's why detox is relevant. People talk about methylation pathways. And I just wanted to emphasize so much about how important it is that we identify those sources of toxins in our homes, because, I mean, it's just as important as, you know, that next detox treatment. Because if you can you're just not even like Dana said earlier, you know, not even if you can avoid the retoxing, then, you know, the detoxing just goes so much, you know, it's easier, you know, it's a detox in itself. We are going to open this. Go ahead.
No, I just said that's a really good point, Brent. Don't, you know, get it before you reach a toxic body burden level, you know. I just want to say I had a client just the other day, and she had a report of her blood was taken, and they looked at the chemicals in her blood. And this is the first time I'd actually ever seen this with some, because usually these are pretty expensive. I think the tests are getting less expensive. So she had phthalates, and she had parabens, and she had toluene. And I said, and toluene is found in nail polish. I said, do you get your nails done? She says, yeah, every week I get a pedicure. It's like, well, bingo. You know, that there it is. It was so interesting to see, you know, and the parabens, we went through all of her makeup and saw so many of them had that. And then she was drinking sodas, and that had a benzoate, sodium benzoate, which is a preservative. That showed up in her blood. You know, she's the woman who has MS. So it's very interesting because, you know, when you have chronic illness, sometimes your body – well, I know your body does. It holds on to these things. You don't have that ability to release them as quickly as someone who doesn't have a disease. So I just found that fascinating. And so for her, the thing is, you know, clean up your home, get rid of all this stuff, so she doesn't reinfect herself, and then she will feel better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it really goes back to, I'm thinking about Mark Weil's talk about how, you know, it gets absorbed into our lungs, through our skin, and then our lymph gets clogged, and here comes the pain and chance for reinfection, and it's just that whole cycle. Brent,
it
you were going to say?
You know, we want to open this up. We're keeping this call at an hour today, so we have about another, you know, 20, 25 minutes, and we want to open it up for live questions. So if you have a question for Beth, press star 2, raise your hand, and we can select you and unmute you and bring you on the line. So if you have any questions, press star 2,
and get in the queue, and we will we'll take your questions live. And while we're waiting for that, Dana, I think you have some other one other question that somebody wrote in.
Yeah, and it's something I want to share some of the things that have worked for me in terms of products, in terms of alternatives. Robin wrote in, you know, what about hair products, lotions, et cetera? What if we made our own? Now, Beth, you recommended in our interview baking soda as deodorant, and it sounds just way too simple. I'm sorry.
Totally.
And I have telling you, I have not gone back.
So I put it in a salt shaker, and I just put a little in my sprinkle a little bit on my hand, and I put it under my armpits. But you have to be clean armpits, you know, like after a shower. You can't put it on if you're already perspired or whatever.
Right,
it's not going to get rid of. But I thought, oh, I'm going to try something unique. I'm going to put some drops of essential oil, you know, and that was a big mistake, I have to say, because it got all clumpy and it didn't flow out of my salt shaker. And you don't need it. That's the other thing. You don't need the fragrance. If you want it, you can put it on afterwards. Like put the baking soda on first, and then if you want to put a little essential oil on after, that's fine. But don't try mixing it together because it'll clump up.
Huh. I wonder which oil it is, because I did try that in a small amount, and then I mixed it in the rest. So anyway, experiment for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people asked about toothpaste. I know there's some really good natural toothpaste out there. I use this brushing rinse that's peroxide. I don't know how many people are familiar with Young Living Oils. I just want to say that's Young Living Oils I've used since 1996. Please email us at LimelessLiveMore if you're interested to understand more about these essential oils. You can use them in laundry, for laundry soap. You can use them to clean your house. You can use them for toothpaste, et cetera.
I love using essential oil, just a drop on my toothbrush. It's terrific as a toothpaste, too. And you can also use baking soda as a toothpaste as well.
Right. I know. I love these things you just find in the kitchen. I know the oil that I love is Thieves. You know, it has lots of cinnamon and clove, which is really great for your gums. It's, you know, you have to dilute it quite a bit. And I just want to share, Beth and I did an ageless beauty workshop, and in it I shared a scrub that I kind of concocted from the kitchen. You know, going through Lyme treatments, you often run out of money because everything's going to the treatment. So pulling stuff from the kitchen is not only sustainable, it's very healthy. It's coconut oil, coffee grounds, sugar, and a drop of tangerine or grapefruit oil. And that's to scrub on your body to loofah, and it also is great to the citrus oils are fat burners, and the coffee grounds are really good for your skin. I know we're kind of going fast through these things.
It's fantastic, but I just want to remind people to use organic coffee, because coffee beans are one of the most highly sprayed crops on the planet, along with peanuts and potatoes. So you want to make sure that you're going organic on the coffee grounds that as well.
Yes, yes, always. I just sort of at the point where I'm just assuming everything's organic. And, you know, I don't know, this thing, hair is so individual. I think it has a lot to do with your water. And I know Whole Foods has some great stuff. You know, they're not all great. But I've used apple cider vinegar diluted in water as a rinse, just as a sort of clarifying, sort of pulls out all the junk, and it's really, really awesome. I don't know if you've ever used that, Beth, but
I have. It's great, and you know, I'm gonna bring back the baking soda one more time, because you can mix some baking soda in water and then use that as a rinse, and it gets rid of all of that residue from your products and makes your hair really like squeaky clean. So it's another way to use it.
Awesome.
Very good. Well, we have a question here. Somebody's raised their hand. If anybody else has any other questions, while we take this one, star two
raises your hand, we'll select you. And here is one from Santa Rosa, California. And you're unmuted.
Hi.
Go ahead. Hey.
I have a question. I have become very chemically sensitive. On top of Lyme, I had an exposure to toxic metals from well water that knocked me into a whole other level of being sensitive to chemicals. But also I've basically run out of money, and at this point the only housing I can afford is subsidized housing, which means an apartment that when I move in is going to have been painted and have new carpets in it. And I have some ideas of strategies with that, but if I'm going to be living in a studio apartment where I can't make my bedroom a sanctuary because my bedroom is my living room, and where they are using low VOC paint, thank God, but there may be things in there. What kind of suggestions would you have?
Well, I guess the first thing maybe is get yourself that air filter, the air purifier that I mentioned earlier. Were you on the call for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, keep your windows open when you can, and definitely make sure that your personal care products don't contain any fragrances or any of these chemicals that we talked about. You know,
I've already cleaned all of that up. I've had to. I can't use anything. So.
Yeah. I have some things in my book that I'm trying to recall. You know, which helps get rid of some of the toxins in the carpeting. If it's new carpeting, there's some sort of, I just can't remember the name of it, but where you can apply it and it kind of blocks. I just don't remember the name of it. It'll block some of the VOCs.
Okay.
And
I know that there are some house plants that are supposed to absorb formaldehyde and VOCs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Definitely house plants, ivy, and NASA did a study on house plants, and I list a bunch of them. I've got 20 of them in my book too. But pretty much common green house plants will absorb a lot of the formaldehyde and all that. So that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But that for me, the idea is I can take care of myself and my products, but if I have to do my laundry and I have to go into a laundry room that other people use, and then, like I said, I have to live in an apartment complex that other people have made some rules about what's there and the common areas are not. Have you ever used, and do you recommend, those little personal air purifiers that you can hang around your neck?
Oh, it's funny. I did use one on a flight once, a transatlantic flight. I don't know if – I haven't used it sort of on a daily basis, so I couldn't tell you. But it's probably worth experimenting. It couldn't hurt, maybe even wearing a mask, you know, if you're out in – Yeah, my heart goes out to you. You know, it seems like it would be such a great thing to have some sort of housing that for people who were chemically sensitive. And it seems that so many, you know, more and more people are experiencing that. And I guess to just perhaps ask the people who manage the property to please not use, you know, harsh chemicals when they're cleaning. If that's an option for them.
Yeah, I think a mask really is the best bet. I've used those personal purifiers again to Beth on flights. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a huge difference. And I'm sorry, caller, I don't know your name. It didn't come up. Who are we speaking
with? Joanna. My name is Joanna.
Joanna, hi there.
Hi.
Oh, I see you're from Santa Rosa, California, not too far from here. And you know, I feel for you too. The laundry situations are like kryptonite, you know.
Yeah.
Public. We have neighbors here that use dryer sheets, and it's beautiful environment with trees all around, and all of a sudden dryer sheets through the air. It's frustrating, but take care of yourself. Sounds like you're on the right path.
Is there a specific mask that you recommend?
I just would get something at Walgreens probably. You know what I do, sort of like a covert thing that I do is I wear a bandana around my neck, sort of cowboy mm-hmm. style when I get on a plane because I never know. I'm generally good, but I never know when it's going to come up, some chemical or fragrance, and I just pull it up around my nose like a bandit. So it's
you can check on Amazon. They have these non-toxic dust masks. So and for a box of 50 it's like $5. So, you know, maybe that is something you might want to look at.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks for doing this topic.
You're welcome. Thank
good luck to you.
Thank you for your question. Yeah. And we have no other hands raised right now. So anybody else wants to ask a question, press *2, raise your hand. Lines are open for you. Now's your chance. And we did say we were going to give away a book for the second caller in today, or second person to jump on. And we can give that away now. It's
are you ready?
I'm gonna unmute this person. They get to talk too. So that's Mara.
Collins.
Mara, let's see. Yep, let me see. Mara
Collins.
I just unmuted you. If you want to say something, Mara. But yeah, we're gonna send you a free book of Supernatural Home.
Did you get Mara? Are you there? Hi. Maybe not. Mara called.
Yeah, so anyway.
Did you say your name right?
I think so. So just email us so we know where to send it to. And yeah, it's pretty awesome. And besides that, Dana, do we have any other questions we want to go over or points we want to make before we wrap the call up?
You know, you guys, we're just looking at this. We're having fun with technology. Brent is pretty much a master at all this. And sorry if there was some pauses today. Please feel free to email us if you have any questions, if you lost us at any point in the talk. And we definitely recommend getting Beth's book. And stay with us. You know, next week we are talking to Andy Abrahams-Wilson, director of Under Our Skin. He's got a lot of perspective on Lyme and chronic illness. And the following week, we have Dave Asprey talking about mold toxicity. So thank you all for being here. Maura, you could stay on the line if you'd like. And the rest of you, have a beautiful weekend. And Beth Greer, you're so awesome. Thank you, thank
you.
You.
Thank you, Dana, and thank you, Brent. It was great to be here. And again, if anyone has any questions for me, they can email me at beth@bethgreer.com, and they could go to my website and have some articles up there. I write for the Huffington Post, so I have all those up there. And wishing you all well.
What's your website again, Beth?
I'm sorry?
Share your website again, please.
Sure. It's bethgreer.com, G-R-E-E-R. Take small steps, you know, don't get overwhelmed. There's easy, simple things that you can do, and you'll see that you'll start feeling better when you start realizing how your home is impacting your health. And it's an easy ways to feel better.
Beth, guess what? We have two people that just jumped up with their hands. Do you have
eight
more minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so great. I love the last minute. Get it under the wire.
Wait.
So we have somebody from Garden City, New York, or Nassau, New York. You're unmuted now. Hello?
Hi, this is Robin again. I did send a question, but this discussion has prompted another question for me.
Okay.
Okay, I am getting ready to move into a house, and the previous owners had kitties, and I'm allergic to kitties. So if I get the ductwork vacuum or I guess cleaned, and what other options should I look into?
I would say to make sure that you get your carpets cleaned, but is there carpeting down?
There's carpeting on the upstairs where there are two bedrooms. So I was going to have that clean, but I don't plan to really be up there that much because master's on the main.
Okay, but when you do have it cleaned, make sure that you find a non-toxic cleaner. I like Zero Res, and I think they're a national company. I used them out here. They don't use any chemicals to clean. So you want to find something that is chemical-free to clean the carpets. And then
okay,
just make
great.
Sure that you wet mop everything. But again, don't use Lysol or Comet or anything like that. You want to use natural cleaners.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Sure. Good
luck. Thank you. Okay. And before I've got one more question here. Before we do it, I just want to share one story. I almost forgot to tell it. I'm renting a house right now. Over in Baton Rouge, and I got evicted a couple weeks ago, and the main reason why is because the landlord here wants to do some construction while I was out of town for 10 days down in San Diego with Dana when we launched this, and he got really upset because I wouldn't allow him to basically just said, no, you can't tear out two parts of the ceiling and carve another door and install a new closet in the bedroom while I'm gone, because I didn't want to expose him. I know there's mold in the attic because he had a water leak he wouldn't fix for a while. And, there's like no way I'm going to allow my body to be exposed to those kind of toxins, both from the mold, possibly from the attic, the sheetrock, and the repainting the house. And he's like, well, it's just a few days. But, the degassing is a big deal, not to mention who knows what kind of stuff's getting broken loose and airborne.
Yes.
And landed on my furniture. So, I have to find a new place for the next 6 weeks. But
wow.
That's what it takes sometimes, for us to, really put our foot down and stand up for our health. It's inconvenient.
Right. You were very smart to do that because you may have saved yourself, months or years of torment after that. You never know.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I know we're not always in our best situations, but we have to really, stick to our guns with what's best for us, even, because nobody else is going to understand what we're going through. So,
right.
Anyway, taking the next question here from Vancouver, British Columbia. You're on the line.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Who's this?
Hi, my name is Stephanie.
Hey, Bethany.
Can you hear me?
Stephanie.
We can, yeah. What's your question?
Great. I have a couple of questions, but I'll start with the one that I concern most. I self-diagnosed with Lyme disease, and I have been trying to take a safe form of silver to try to get rid of it. I know obviously it's a heavy metal and it's toxic, but I offer that rather than antibiotic. I'm just wondering, do you know anything about, obviously you guys have gone through this, but I don't think you have tried silver, have you?
Stephanie, this is Dana.
Yeah, hi.
I think between the two of us, we've tried everything. And
okay.
Some things really work at certain times, and they have a time and place. You definitely need to be under the care of someone. I use silver, on airplanes in my nasally. I carry it around in my purse, just a spray. But as a heavy treatment, we really are staying away from recommending treatments.
Of course.
But what we would recommend is getting some guidance from a Lyme literate. Sounds like holistic physician would be great. Would be great for you.
Yeah. A lot of the even the Lyme literate, medical doctors, they're weaving in. Some of them are weaving in the silver, or the herbs. It's not just antibiotics. So, it's finding the right treatment for you. And it's and that's why you have to work with a practitioner who's really monitoring with how your body is responding to this treatment versus that treatment so they can find that right combination for you. And timing, you know, sometimes they want to try it for a little while and then move on to something else. So really important for that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would add too, Stephanie, please join us for Dave Asprey's talk. He's from your area. And I know Vancouver is very much like San Francisco in that it's damp. And you may have some mold issues that you'd want to really look into. And all the things we talked about today with Beth is a really good place to start.
It is. And let me just emphasize, you know, and we can, you know, I know there's a lot of emphasis on, like, you know, silver versus, you know, this herb or that. The treatments are important, but what we're reviewing here, you know, like the mold and the toxins in the house, there's a lot of doctors out there who won't even work with you if they know you're in a moldy household or you're exposed to the EMFs. Or, you know, if you're not doing these preventative measures, you're not going to see the results as well.
You don't want to waste your money.
In a clean environment. Exactly.
Yeah.
So this, we really want to go over the things that, you know, everything else we can do on our own. And then, you know, the treatments, let the doctors really, you know, focus on that piece.
Thank you. And the book that the speaker was mentioning earlier, I couldn't quite get it. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, it's Supernatural Home, 3 words.
Supernatural Home. I just want to let everybody know I have found a good replacement for toupees that I hope it will help everybody too.
Okay.
It's a natural sugar that they extracted from tree. It's the name is XYLITOL.
Xylitol?
Xylitol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a form of sugar that doesn't cause cavity, but I have done some research online, and then I try it now for over a month. It makes my teeth so clean. I just basically use it to brush my teeth with no water, so my saliva become the moisture to dissolve the sugar. In research, it shows it's more effective for the sugar to work for brushing your teeth without adding water to it. So I just clean it that way, and I've been using it for a month, and it keeps my teeth very clean. That's just one option.
Oh, that's really great. You know, I use a toothpaste that's xylitol's in it, along with cinnamon and clove and other essential oils. So you're onto something there. That's great, Stephanie. Thank you.
You're welcome. I have one more question. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
Really quick,
hello?
Stephanie. Beth does have to leave.
Sure.
Yeah.
The when I move in a house and the wood usually have a layer of glare on it, I'm just wondering, is there anything that I need to worry about chemical from that, the wood treatment?
Well, if you're putting it on yourself, then you want to make sure that the product that you're using is non-toxic. But if you're talking about wood that's already been treated, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. Great. Thank you
very much. All right.
Well,
okay. Thank you so much. All right. And that's going to wrap up our call. I know, Beth, you need to go. And thank you so much for being with us, Beth. AmazingBethGreer.com is where you can find her website and more information. And Supernatural Home is her amazing book and the Bible you can take with you to the stores to find out, you know, all the list of all the things that you really need, right, Beth?
Absolutely. Great. Thanks, Scott. Thank you for doing what you're doing. It's so important.
Thanks, Beth. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye. Happy weekend.